truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day, from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Of the 4th of July. I, Paul Harvey, do herewith bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated, 24 were lawyers and jurists, 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light a fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry. There was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardship. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history. But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months, for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. 56 men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. And if they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge. And here is the documented fate of that gallant 56. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter, trader, saw his ship swept from the seas. To pay his debt, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch, Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. His wife and he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France, was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett and Walton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia, raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate, and he was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. It was destroyed. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The Hessians seized the home of Francis Hopkinson of New Jersey. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed, his wife imprisoned. He died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed that declaration, was captured, mistreated, his health broken to the extent that he died at 51. His estate was pillaged. Thomas Hayward, Jr. was captured when Charleston fell. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. And he died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. Lewis Morris saw his land destroyed, his family scattered. Philip Livingston died within a few months from the hardships of the war. John Hancock, history remembers best due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for, that great sweeping signature attesting to his vanity, towers over the others, one of the wealthiest men in New England. And yet he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war, and he said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it." So he, too, lived up to the pledge. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardship or from its more merciful bullet. I don't know what impression you had of the men who met that summer in Philadelphia, but I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. They were rich men, most of them, and had enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living. Not hungry men, certainly not terrorists, not irresponsible malcontents, not fanatical incendiaries. These men were prosperous men, wealthy landowners. They were substantially secure in their prosperity. They had everything to lose. But they considered liberty, and this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned that liberty is so much more important than security, that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price. And freedom was born.
We hold these truths to be so evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty, and I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, iTunes, Zeno.fm, Roku TV, and a bunch of others that I can never remember because my organizational skills are somewhat lacking, and I keep forgetting to write everything down. Be sure to go to the homepage, check out the chat room, sign up with Chatsy, get in there and discuss with everybody else. And if you got something for sale, check out the advertising spots. Pick one of them up. They're cheaper than everywhere else. And if you see what you like in the advertising spots, buy some. It helps keep us on the air. And as always, if you've got some change burning a hole in your pocket, you find it under the seat of your car, you know, on the cushions of your couch, if you find it under your bed, or if you find it on the streets of San Francisco, please wash and disinfect before you hit that donation button up at the top of the page and send it our way. How awesome is that to be brought in to this show by Metallica and then the late, great Paul Harvey? Giving that little bit about the founders who put their lives on the line to sign the Declaration of Independence, basically telling England to go F themselves. And they listed out the reasons for it, too. It wasn't just like, hey, oh, well, we don't like you anymore. No, they listed out every single reason why they did not want King George running this country anymore. And they fought a war over it. They lost their fortunes. They lost their land, their families. They lost everything. And how many people in this country who have that kind of influence and that kind of money are willing to put their money where their mouth is and do the same thing? I know of very few. But on the celebration of the 4th of July, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which put the birth of our nation into, you know, it was cut. Basically, that's our birthday. You know, you've got to play this. There's a couple of other things I'm gonna run here. But now, I you know, you got to wonder, when you listen to that, you understand who the founding fathers are, what they gave up, what they sacrificed. And you look at our government now, who is basically selling us out to everybody, to selling us out to China mostly. We got these little totalitarian dictator bureaucrats who are essentially telling you, you don't have any choice over yourselves. The Supreme Court itself rules in favor of our rights. And the first thing that some of these little bureaucratic morons do is they start working the end game around it. You can't have your constitutionally right guaranteed rights to self-defense by bearing arms. I'll get into some more of that later. You can't have we have to have our rights to abortion. There isn't one. I hate to break the news to you. While they're busy supporting shutting down your freedom of speech, your freedom to protest, unless, of course, you're Antifa or Black Lives Matter, you know, two communist groups. And here we are. And some of the stuff that I was watching since last week, I mean, is absolutely embarrassed. This country, this government, the people in it, the people who are running for office have become an embarrassment. We used to be the shining city on the hill that, like, the Cuban defector who came to America and he told one of our elected officials, at least I had somewhere to go. Well, maybe not anymore. What the hell has happened to us? Where are the people who will pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for this country? I put my life on the line when I went into the Marine Corps. Didn't wholly understand the whole situation at the time, but that's what I thought I was doing. That's what I did, and I still stand by it. I swore an oath to the Constitution, and I still stand by that, to support and defend the Constitution. I have a congressman who took the same oath because he was in the Marine Corps too, but and he also got elected to Congress, had to swear the oath again, and turned his back on it as soon as he got to Washington, D.C. Sold his soul out to the billionaires and basically became their puppet. And you know who they are. I mean, they're very obvious. I mean, even here where I am out in the middle of the Rust Belt in Wisconsin, you can tell who the people are because we have a midterm coming up in about a month, a little over a month, and you can tell who they are. The people who are running for governor, you know who the establishment people are because they absolutely refuse, in face of mountains of evidence, that the election was a complete farce. And that, it's not going to happen again. We've got a handle on it until you look at Clark County, Nevada, where they did the exact same thing again. Until you look at Green Bay, Wisconsin, where they tried to do the exact same thing again, but they got caught. You know, we, as a people, as a nation, you see what these guys did back in 1700s. And it almost makes you feel ashamed to not be doing the same thing. Except, you know, you try to do the same thing these guys, they will kill you. And that's, okay, fine. I pledge my life, my fortune, my sacred honor. Kill me. What are you going to do? That's the best you can do. And we have got to, like, pull our heads out of our we have got to stop as a nation having cranial rectal insertion on a massive scale. We have got to stop. So we have got to stop listening to these people whose sole intention is to bring this country down. Bill Gates, George Soros, Klaus Schwab, the banking cartels, and I'll get into them in a little bit too. You know, don't forget the black nobility. Don't forget all those other secret societies that we have discussed at length on the Granada Forum with Gary Arnold. But can you imagine being this, essentially what were considered colonies? Okay, you didn't even have a real proper government. You didn't have real representation, again, with the... But you're getting taxed, which came, you know, which is why they came up with the phrase, you know, no taxation without representation. But can you imagine being this, just the East Coast of this continent, and going up against, with only 3% of the population going up against the world's only superpower? Okay, and you didn't have any of the modern conveniences that we're used to today. Oh, we got portable heat. No, you didn't have any of that stuff. People were dying a lot simply by exposure to the elements. They were freezing to death. They were catching disease. You know, they're, if you got shot with a bullet, they didn't have any modern stuff that we know of to treat an infection. They were dying from infections. You know, you get a bad enough wound and they're cutting your leg off with a hacksaw with no anesthesia. Okay, these guys had some backbone. These guys had some balls. They were fighting for a cause that they believed in. Where, I mean, I know a bunch of people who are doing it here in the U.S., and they're trying to go through every lawful means of doing it, but these like Mitch on the show previously, these assholes are not playing the same game. Okay, they want to end this country. That declaration that sits enshrined in the Capitol building, they ignore completely. They wipe their ass with the Constitution on a regular basis. Every single, oh my God, the Second Amendment, we have to stop that. Your freedom of speech, forget it. Redress of grievances, we're going to put you in the brig in the Capitol. Oh, and if you think you have any Fifth Amendment rights to due process, guess what? We're gonna ignore that too and try to implement these red flag gun laws, which, by the way, a year ago the Supreme Court already declared those to be unlawful. But yet here they go. That doesn't matter to them. When you're in a quest for power, if you study some of these totalitarians who have taken over countries, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Lenin, Mao Zedong, and the rest. They don't care what you – it's like the old saying, the wolf does not care about the opinions of the sheep. These people do not care. They can contradict themselves on a regular basis. They can hold you to laws that they themselves do not obey. I don't know if smoking Parmesan cheese is against the law. Hunter Biden did it, but he also did a lot of other things. Let me see, like money laundering in the Ukraine, money laundering through China, smoking crack and doing blow off a hooker's ass. You know, as long as the big guy got his 10%, and Joe Biden, he probably doesn't even remember what 10% is at this point, and yet somehow we are supposed to believe that he is the legitimate elected leader of this country. Our founding fathers are spinning in their grave so hard that if you went out to their burial sites, provided they haven't been torn down at this point, you probably will see smoke coming out of the grave. We have been subjected, especially in the last 2 years, every unconstitutional edict, especially from Anthony Fauci, who, by the way, he is the science, so don't you dare question him. You know, that guy, every unconstitutional edict, every edict that has violated the Nuremberg laws, every edict that has violated every right that we have guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States. And if you, and by the way, read the 9th and 10th Amendments. I've said it before. Read the 9th and 10th Amendments to the Constitution. That will show you how to read the rest of the Constitution. They have expanded their power on the federal level to unbelievable proportions here. Authority that they don't have, but then they create these bureaucracies that create regulation that they enforce as if it had the full effect of the law without Congress actually passing a law. ATF is one of the worst violators ever. They need to be abolished. IRS, completely unconstitutional on its face, needs to be abolished. The Federal Reserve, and I'll get into the Federal Reserve in a little bit too. needs to be abolished. We need to revoke their charter and start using lawful money backed up by a commodity, the way that John F. Kennedy did when he enacted Executive Order 11110. And if you know a little bit about the history of it, he was authorized to do that through an agricultural bill from the 1930s. I did a little research on it, and started printing United States notes. You can still find some. Go to a coin shop, you know, or a pawn shop and see if they have any. It's the red sealed notes, United States notes. Those are debt-free U.S. dollars backed up by silver at the time. Federal Reserve notes are backed up by absolutely nothing. They represent debt, and they are killing us. And we remember why the Founding Fathers actually went to war with England. Oh, it's because of the tax stamp. Yeah, it was because of the tax stamp. You know, I'm doing all this because July 4 was yesterday. I got to go to a early celebration of July 4th last Friday, which was really cool. I actually got a couple of tickets to a barbecue for that one. But this is what these guys were fighting for. This is what we always seem to forget. And you've got guys, and I know I like some of these people, but when they turn around and say, I can't stand July 4th, I absolutely hate it. And the reasons that they will give has nothing to do with what July 4th is actually about. We wouldn't even have this country, which allows the amount of dissent that we have. By the way, it does and allows the amount of overthrow that these people are trying to do, even in the face of the fact that it's completely unconstitutional. Without the Founding Father, the seven guys in the 1700s who put this all together. Now, I can go into the arguments of, is it the Constitution of 1789 or the one from 1791. We can go into a lot of other things that have happened after, but I just want to sit here on this one because you got to remember these guys didn't have precedent for creating a new country. They did to a certain extent. They had to draw on their knowledge. These were smart guys. They were learned. Okay, they knew Cicero. They knew the Magna Carta. They knew, all the examples that they had come from. And they gave us this country with the Constitution, which, by the way, is not a free-for-all the way that this current administration is treating it, that other past administrations have treated it. For us to simply just invade every other country in the world that we don't like on the behalf of corporations who want the resources in that country. You can read Smedley Butler's War is a Racket. You can read John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman if you want to find out what a lot of that stuff is about. But these guys had just come out. They just beat the only superpower on the planet by sheer balls and will. Where are those guys now? Where do we? We've got a chairman of the armed forces who was like, "Well, we have to, we have to kind of make sure that we're treating everybody equitably so that we can have the trans and gay community within the military and make sure we treat them right. And we have to lower the standards down of our fighting force so that they can be all inclusive." Screw that. Where the hell did that come from? You cannot dumb down. Of all the things that you cannot dumb down, are military, first responders, and everything. There is a physical requirement, and there's a mental requirement that goes along with it. You cannot go into battle and defend yourself against a foreign invasion if you're waving the gay pride flag and going, hey, we're over here, stop shooting at us, oh my God, what are you doing? You can't do it. You're not going to survive. And yes, I'm making fun of gay people. Oh my God, I'm going to get canceled. Somebody shoot me now. Or am I going to get canceled by the gay community? Quite frankly, I really don't care. I am absolutely tired of this. And everybody else should be too. The dumbing down of America, even Charlotte Eiserbeit was talking about this years ago. I think I pronounced her name right. Eiserbeit or Eiserbeit. Is absolutely astounding to what we're witnessing right now. And it was all done by design. This is not something new. This has been going on for a long time. Oh, here it is. This is the one thing I want to make sure I get this played. But this is nothing new. They've been doing this for a long time. They've been dumbing this country down to the point where it's like everybody has to have their feelings respected. I guess what? That's not how life works. That's not how this country works. It's not like anybody else's country. When I was in the military, F your feelings. Get over there and do your damn job. That's how it works. But now it's like, oh my God, I just don't know if I can do it. I might break a nail. And it will make me feel bad. And so, okay, well, you go over there and sit in your safe space and play with the crayons and the Play-Doh. Don't eat them. We know you might. You know, I blame people like Michael Aquino. If you don't know who he is, he was a lieutenant colonel in the Army who was a, by the way, chaplain, given the official title of chaplain when he was a satanic priest. Founded the Temple of Set, and they still bumped him up to lieutenant colonel. He's one of the reasons for the downfall, because it was like, oh, we're going to undermine all of this. I don't blame the Democrats solely, because there's a hell of a lot of Republicans that are in on it as well. I blame them for pushing aside people like Senator Joseph McCarthy. I blame them for pushing aside Cleon Skousen and G. Edward Griffin and everybody else who stood up to the threat of communism invading this country. Look at where we're at now. You've got people openly burning down entire sections of city, waving the communist flag, saying, oh, we're just anti-fascist. No, no, you're communists. You're part of the tool. We saw this happen 100 years ago. At this point, it's over 100 years ago in Russia. When Trotsky was allowed, with a bunch of gold from the Kuklo Bank in New York, was allowed to get to Russia, and him and Lenin got to start spreading the propaganda around. We're seeing the same thing happen here. We can't allow this to happen. We were given the greatest country on the planet. Maybe not perfect, but the greatest country anyway. Excuse me. People have fought and died for this country. I mean, they fought and died for every country, but they fought and died with this because of an ideal that we were told. I know some of them. And it gets very effing frustrating to watch these morons. I mean, I don't care if you dye your hair. That's fine. When I was in bands, I liked the punk movement. I would go around with the punk rockers and things like that, and the heavy metal guys and all of that stuff. That's fine. I don't care. But if you're going to be an effing moron your whole damn life, don't come around me. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm not kowtowing to you no more. If I see you with a bunch of crappy tattoos, by the way, their tattoos are really the worst. They don't mean anything. They're not bikers. They're idiots. You know, but if you're going to come out there and scream and holler at me, oh, stop hitting me. It's like, I haven't touched you. Yes, but you're in my space. It's like, okay, well, I'm in your space. I don't care. But you got guys who, even years ago, even before, of course, I have to sit through the.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies. Not reckless.
But I got to get this thing up, but I got to sit through the ads first. Come on, YouTube, knock it off. But we got guys like from World War II. How many of them did you see running around going, oh, my God, stop shooting at me. I give up. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. And this is a clip from Carl Deckel, who is a sergeant from the Marine Corps, a World War II veteran. He turned 100 years old. Just recently. I mean, how many people get to do that? And this is him. This is absolutely what people meet. This is what I feel also. You know, you watch what's going on right now, and if you've served in the military, you're kind of looking around going like, what the hell did I bother for? So this is I'm going to give you Carl Deckel, and you can listen to him. Hold on, I've got to readjust my state-of-the-art equipment here. You know, that I've spent tens of dollars on. Hold on.
I don't know. I've lived a good life. I mean, I've had a lot of happiness, smiling, telling everybody that everything was beautiful every day. If I went into my church and didn't say everything was beautiful, they'd think I was sick. And I'm not that way. I mean, I sincerely believe in this old world that everything is beautiful. I mean, if I wake up in the morning and see these plants out here and all those flowers that are in there and the green grass on the ground, that's beautiful. And people don't realize what they have. They bitch about it. And then nowadays, I am so upset that the things we did and the things we fought for and the boys that died for it, it's all gone down the drain. Our country's gone to hell in a handbasket. We haven't got the country we had when I was raised. Not at all. Nobody'll have the fun I had. Nobody'll have the opportunity I had. It's just not the same. That's not what our boys, that's not what they died for. This is not it. I'm so sorry. I'll be all right. Just takes me time to get over it. Why me sitting here like this? See all this going on? Listen, it's just, Emily, it's just not the same. That isn't what we fought for. Oh, well. I should be worried about it, I guess. I'm 100 years old, they say.
That will be right.
I worry about it. Yes, I worry.
That will be my fight.
Yeah. Well, okay. You just remember everything's beautiful, and live every day to the fullest. Just enjoy everything you possibly can.
You know what the interesting thing about this guy is he's 100 years old. Okay. And he still sounds more coherent than the illegitimate president of this country. And yeah, you feel the pain that this guy is feeling because, you know, even me, being a former Marine myself, and even other guys that I've talked to. It's like, what if this is what we're watching under this current illegitimate administration? The previous one, the other communist. What the hell did we put our lives on the line for just to watch them sell us out? We were warned about this. People didn't listen. People had their reputations destroyed for warning us about this. Again, Joseph McCarthy, Cleon Scales, and J. Ward Griffin, and the whole John Birch Society got taken down and has not quite recovered the way they should. Even though, you know, they're great people. I know a lot of them. But this is what we got to do next. And I'm going to run this one as soon as I can find it. Again, my great organizational skills allow me to sift through my notes at a snail's pace because I can never remember exactly where I put the thing. Oh, come on. I know it's in here. Here we go. All right, I got this. All right, you're going to have to listen. This is from 1964. This is from the first president I ever voted for. By the way, that's dating myself, I guess. And I'll run it as long as I can. I don't know if we have time to run the entire thing, but I'm going to run out the first half of the show with this.
The following pre-recorded political program is sponsored by TV for Gold.
Thank you and good evening. The sponsor has been identified, but unlike most television programs, the performer hasn't been provided with a script. As a matter of fact, I have been permitted to choose my own words and discuss my own ideas regarding the choice that we face in the next few weeks. I have spent most of my life as a Democrat. I recently have seen fit to follow another course. I believe that the issues confronting us cross party lines. Now, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good. But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future. No nation in history has ever survived a tax burden that reached a third of its national income. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned in this country is the tax collector's share. And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in. We haven't balanced our budget 28 out of the last 34 years. We've raised our debt limit three times in the last...
By the way, it's a lot more than that now. If you add up all the different taxes that you have to pay, it's a lot more than 37%.
12 months. And now our national debt is 1.5 times bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world. We have $15 billion in gold in our treasury. We don't own an ounce. Foreign dollar claims are $27.3 billion. And we've just had announced that the dollar of 1939 will now purchase 45 cents in its total value. As for the peace that we would preserve, I wonder who among us would like to approach the wife or mother whose husband or son has died in South Vietnam and ask them if they think this is a peace that should be maintained indefinitely. Do they mean peace, or do they mean we just want to be left in peace? There can be no real peace while one American is dying someplace in the world for the rest of us. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are." I had some place to escape to. And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. In this vote harvesting time, they use terms like the Great Society, or as we were told a few days ago by the president, we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. But they've been a little more explicit in the past, and among themselves, and all of the things I now will quote have appeared in print. These are not Republican accusations. For example, they have voices that say the Cold War will end through our acceptance of a not undemocratic socialism. Another voice says the profit motive has become outmoded. It must be replaced by the incentives of the welfare state. Or our traditional system of individual freedom is incapable of solving the complex problems of the 20th century. Senator Fulbright has said at Stanford University that the Constitution is outmoded. He referred to the president as our moral teacher and our leader. And he says he is hobbled in his task by the restrictions of power imposed on him by this antiquated document. He must be freed so that he can do for us what he knows is best. And Senator Clark of Pennsylvania, another articulate spokesman, defines liberalism as meeting the material needs of the masses through the full power of centralized government. Well, I, for one, resent it when a representative of the people refers to you and me, the free men and women of this country, as the masses. This is a term we haven't applied to ourselves in America. But beyond that, the full power of centralized government, this was the very thing the founding fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy. Now, we have no better example of this than government's involvement in the farm economy over the last 30 years. Since 1955, the cost of this program has nearly doubled. One-fourth of farming in America is responsible for 85% of the farm surplus. Three-fourths of farming is out on the free market and has known a 21% increase in the per capita consumption of all its produce. You see, that one-fourth of farming, that's regulated and controlled by the federal government. In the last 3 years, we've spent $43 in the feed grain program for every dollar bushel of corn we don't grow. Senator Humphrey last week charged that Barry Goldwater, as president, would seek to eliminate farmers. He should do his homework a little better, because he'll find out that we've had a decline of 5 million in the farm population under these government programs. He'll also find that the Democratic administration has sought to get from Congress extension of the farm program to include that three-fourths that is now free. He'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil. At the same time, there's been an increase in the Department of Agriculture employees. There's now one for every 30 farms in the United States. And still, they can't tell us how 66 shiploads of grain headed for Austria disappeared without a trace, and Billy Solestis never left shore. Every responsible farmer and farm organization has repeatedly asked the government to free the farm economy. But who are farmers to know what's best for them? The wheat farmers voted against a wheat program. The government passed it anyway. Now the price of bread goes up, the price of wheat to the farmer goes down. Meanwhile, back in the city, under urban renewal, the assault on freedom carries on. Private property rights so diluted that public interest is almost anything a few government planners decide it should be. In a program that takes from the needy and gives to the greedy, we see such spectacles as in Cleveland, Ohio. $1.5 million building completed only 3 years ago must be destroyed to make way for what government officials call a more compatible use of the land. The president tells us he's now going to start building public housing units in the thousands, where heretofore we've only built them in the hundreds. But FHA and the Veterans Administration tell us they have 120,000 housing units they've taken back through mortgage foreclosure. For three decades, we've sought to solve the problems of unemployment through government planning, and the more the plans fail, the more the planners plan. The latest is the Area Redevelopment Agency. They've just declared Rice County, Kansas, a depressed area. Rice County, Kansas has 200 oil wells, and the 14,000 people there have over $30 million on deposit in personal savings in their banks. When the government tells you you're depressed, lie down and be depressed. We have so many people who can't see a fat man standing beside a thin one without coming to the conclusion the fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one. So they're going to solve all the problems of human misery through government and government planning. Well, now, if government planning and welfare had the answer, and they've had almost 30 years of it, shouldn't we expect government to read the score to us once in a while? Shouldn't they be telling us about the decline each year in the number of people needing help, the reduction in the need for public housing? But the reverse is true. Each year, the need grows greater. The program grows greater. We were told 4 years ago that 17 million people went to bed hungry each night. Well, that was probably true. They were all on a diet. But now we're told that 9.3 million families in this country are poverty-stricken on the basis of earning less than $3,000 a year. Welfare spending 10 times greater than it was in the dark depths of the Depression. We're spending $45 billion on welfare. Now, do a little arithmetic, and you'll find that if we divided the $45 billion up equally among those 9 million poor families, we'd be able to give each family $4,600 a year. And this, added to their present income, should eliminate poverty. Direct aid to the poor, however, is only running about $600 per family. It would seem that someplace there must be some overhead. So now we declare war on poverty, or you too can be a Bobby Baker. Now, do they honestly expect us to believe that if we add $1 billion to the $45 billion we're spending, one more program to the 30-odd we have, and remember, this new program doesn't replace any, it just duplicates existing programs. Do they believe that poverty is suddenly going to disappear by magic? Well, in all fairness, I should explain there is one part of the new program that isn't duplicated. This is the youth feature. We are now going to solve the dropout problem, juvenile delinquency, by reinstituting something like the old CCC camps. And we're going to put our young people in these camps. But again, we do some arithmetic, and we find that we're going to spend each year, just on room and board for each young person we help, $4,700 a year. We can send them to Harvard for $2,700. Of course, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting Harvard is the answer to juvenile delinquency. Seriously, what are we doing to those we seek to help? Not too long ago, a judge called me here in Los Angeles. He told me that a young woman who'd come before him for a divorce. She had 6 children, was pregnant with her 7th. Under his questioning, she revealed her husband was a laborer earning $250 a month. She wanted the divorce to get an $80 raise. She's eligible for $330 a month in the Aid to Dependent Children program. She got the idea from 2 women in her neighborhood who'd already done that very thing. Yet any time you and I question the schemes of the do-gooders, we're denounced as being against their humanitarian goals. They say we're always against things, we're never for anything. Well, The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so. Now, we're for a provision that destitution should not follow unemployment by reason of old age. And to that end, we've accepted Social Security as a step toward meeting the problem. But we're against those entrusted with this program when they practice deception regarding its fiscal shortcomings, when they charge that any criticism of the program means that we want to end payments to those people who depend on them for a livelihood. They've called it insurance to us in 100 million pieces of literature. But then they appeared before the Supreme Court, and they testified it was a welfare program. They only used the term insurance to sell it to the people. And they said Social Security dues are a tax for the general use of the government. And the government has used that tax. There is no fund. Because Robert Byers, the actuarial head, appeared before a congressional committee and admitted that Social Security, as of this moment, is $298 billion in the hole.
All right, only got about a minute left. But the basic crux of what Ronald Reagan was talking about is that the government, every program that they have, which taxes you, is a scam, and they're completely inept at doing anything. They're a complete wreck. They have no idea what they're doing. And they've been implementing this for a long time. And by the way, don't ever think that they're stupid. Remember James Forrestal, what he said. Stupidity is not a hallmark of consistency. Because if it were, occasionally they'd make a mistake in our favor. What they're doing is very deliberate. Even, and this is, again, back in 1964. This is very deliberate. They started putting these programs into place. Number one, welfare broke up the family. It tore the black community apart. And it's all, and don't ever believe them. Anyway, we'll be right back after the break, everybody. Stay tuned.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world.
Right there, you just heard the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. Oh, by the way, welcome back to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, iTunes, Zeno.fm, Roku.tv now, and probably a bunch of others that, of course, according to my absolute ability to maintain my organizational skills, I can't mention because I don't know what they are. Be sure to go to the website, sign up with Chatsy, get into the chat room with everybody else, have a meaningful discussion or an unmeaningful discussion, whichever you choose. Get into the advertising spot. If you see something you like, please buy it. If you have something for sale, pick up an advertising spot. It's pretty cheap compared to everywhere else, and both of them help keep us on the air. And as always, if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, or if you just happen to pick some up off the sidewalks of New York, Los Angeles, or Chicago, please disinfect before you send it to us by clicking that donation button up at the top of the page. We need all the help we can get to stay on the air. We are alternative, and we are 100% listener-supported. We don't get a ton of money to lose ratings like CNN does all the time. And by the way, they just lost another 13% of their viewership too. But for some reason, they still keep getting a ton of cash. And I get to stay on the air, even though that fat toad Brian Stelter is like, acting all serious. And I don't understand why people just don't want to watch us anymore. How are we supposed to get out the information that we want them to hear? Well, because, you idiot, nobody wants to hear what you're telling them anymore. Very simple. People are tired of it, and it's not anything new. This is something that's been going on for quite a while. People have stopped trusting the fake stream media, and there's a reason why. But the main fake stream media doesn't seem to understand it, because they are controlled by six different corporations that have a narrative that they want to push, and we don't belong to that here on Revolution Radio. Definitely not at my show. Definitely not at anybody's show that's on here. We're not going to lie to you. You can take what we say at face value or not, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think, and I'm going to back it up with whatever I can. But we were listening to, before the break, Ronald Reagan speak his piece about what was going on. But this is back in 1964, by the way. And just recently, if I can find it, I just read a document from the Rockefeller Foundation, which put out another one. This was actually a couple of years ago. It hasn't been kind of discovered, if you don't know what you're looking for, until recently, and I had no idea of its existence, but I started reading it, and it was like, you got to be kidding me with this. Oh, here it is. And this is, remember, Ronald Reagan was talking about the farmlands. Now, again, back in 1964, was talking about the farmlands, how they were going to start controlling food production, and how we had to make sure food production met certain standards and so on. Well, this is a new one. This is, remember the Rockefeller document? I talked about this a bunch of times, the one about international development, the one that had Operation Lockstep in it, where they talked about, okay, we're going to create a virus, and we're going to, these are all the rules we're going to start implementing, the regulations we're going to implement. And that was in 2010. In 2020, we saw all of that happen. Well, this one was published in July 28 of 2020, while we were well underway of the fake pandemic. And this one is called Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Anytime the Rockefeller Foundation puts out anything, you've got to question it. Especially since they're the ones who are manipulating all, not just the information, but they have been taking down food production in the United States. I don't for one second believe that any of those food processing plants accidents, the fires that burned them down, the 50,000 or 100,000 chickens that were killed in that one place, was anywhere near an accident, yet they expect us to believe it. I don't believe that Bill Gates is buying up farmland because he has our best interests at heart. you know, we saw this same kind of thing happen again. If you study history a little bit, go back to the Ukraine, go back to, you know, not present day, but Ukraine back in the 1940s. Stalin starved over 2.5 million farmers to death because he refused to allow them to plant on their land. They couldn't even go out and go to the places that they were permitted to farm and pick food. They would get shot. So 2.5 million people in Ukraine back in the 1940s starved to death on land that was farmland. Go figure. Now, in this country, what are they doing? They're shutting down not the fertilizer plants, but they're shutting down the transportation for fertilizer to get to where they're supposed to be going. There's a fertilizer plant down in Louisiana who said, we got it. We just can't ship it anywhere because Union Pacific, that owns the railroads, won't take it for us. You've had the U.S. government interfering in farming practices for decades, longer than decades at this point, and screwing everything up. The University of Wisconsin said, oh, you know, we did a study, and this is what we think that you should be farming like. The government in Wisconsin said, well, okay, then this is how we should be farming. The farmers were turning around going like, no, that's not how we do it. Well, we created regulation, and now you have to do it that way. The EPA came in and said, you have to use this specific kind of fertilizer. No, that doesn't work right. Number one, it's gonna create a massive backlash on the back end with the runoff into the streams where, you know, these streams, which are freshwater streams, feeding into the lakes, feeding into the bigger lakes, and then feeding into the Great Lakes, and the farmers are going, no, no, we can't use that because this is what the end result is going to be. Well, it's regulation now. You cannot sell your food unless you use this particular kind of fertilizer. And what happened? Everything the farmer said that was going to come true came true. They clogged up the streams because the algae went out of control. They clogged up the lakes, the smaller ones, the tributary lakes, because algae came into bloom. I've seen it happen in this little town that I live in because there's a lot of runoff from the farms around the area, but they're still required to use this crappy fertilizer because some company said, here you go, take a little money on the back end and make sure that my fertilizer gets used. Instead of just doing it in the thousands of year old farming tradition of, this is what works. Here, my cow's taking a dump, put it on the land, it fertilizes the soil. Okay, you can't do that and sell it on the market. You have to use the EPA approved, Agricultural Department approved fertilizers that you spread all over the place and they screw everything up. Rockefellers have got their fingers in every single bit of it. Same way that they screwed up the healthcare system, they're screwing up the food system. By the way, which is not by accident, they're doing this on purpose. If you think the food situation in America is bad now, it's going to get worse. So, on this document that they put up, again, remember Ronald Reagan was 1964. Ronald Reagan was speaking the same language. Here's the foreword. Here's the first paragraph in the foreword of this document. America faces a hunger and nutrition crisis unlike any this country has seen in generations. Today, 14 million children are missing meals on a regular basis. Statistic that's three times worse than the Great Recession and five times worse than the COVID-19 pandemic. As parents who often skip meals themselves in order to prioritize feeding their kids can no longer protect their children from hunger. It's even worse for Latino and Black families. I'll throw the race card down. Who have seen rates of nutrition insecurity spike to 25 and 30% respectively in the wealthiest country in the world. This is simply unconscionable. By the way, they're bankrupting this country. So they're putting this on a lot of other aspects of it, but never blaming themselves when they're the ones who are doing it. Remember, they're trying to bank, they're trying to take this country down, and now they're going to try to do this one. So they got to come up with a solution. Oh, by the way, what's the go-to blame for it? Oh, let me see. COVID-19 has boiled over long simmering problems plaguing America's food system. Well, here's the issue I have with this statement. There was no problem plaguing America's food system. If you've ever flown over this country, you know, outside the big metropolitan areas, and you got to look down on this country, we are a massive farming community in this country. Go over the Midwest sometime. You know, screw the East Coast and the West Coast, you know, all where all the leftists are. And Chicago, you know, kick Chicago out. There are farms everywhere. There is no reason we should have any kind of a food shortage, except for the fact the government got involved and shut everything down and screwed it up. That's what they do. That's what they always do. Government has no ability. These idiots, and I don't want to keep using that word. For the very simple reason, I got to go back to James Forrestal. They're not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. This is a very deliberate act on their part to kill food production in the United States. Oh, you can't have any meat. Well, gee, I don't understand how 10,000 head of cattle just keeled over suddenly. We just killed off 50 million chickens because, well, we have avian flu, so you've got to be scared of that. So they killed off 50 million chickens. You don't use their products. They'll shut your farm down. You can never sell it. Don't even think about getting raw milk by any stretch of the imagination, because they'll take the raw milk provider and stick them in prison. By the way, I've had raw milk, and you want to know what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was tasty. And I haven't drank milk for years. But if you ever read some of the permissions that are allowed to go through with your food productions that the FDA allows, you'd be like, I would rather go to the Amish farm down the street from me and get stuff from them, which, by the way, I have. I do. But it's not as clean as what the government says. The government doesn't care. This is what people have really got to get through their heads. The government does not care about you anymore. Haven't for a long time. They do not have your best interests at heart. They want to disarm you so they can pull off the same kind of crap that you saw happen through the 20th century with the Armenians, with the Germans, with the Russians, with the Chinese, with the Ugandans, with Cambodia, and the list goes on and on and on. Okay, they don't want you to be able to eat. Why? Because they want you weak so you cannot fight back against these people. And they want you stupid, which is why the education system in this country pretty much sucks at this point. Where the hell did CRT come from? I mean, I thought Common Core was bad enough. And I attended a lecture with Dr. Duke Pesta, who's a professor out of the University of Wisconsin. Had him on the show a couple of years ago. I'd really got to get him back. And it was absolutely astounding, the presentation that he put together, how their education system is dumbing down this country. So people don't know that they don't know something. It's like, just kind of like Joe Biden. Now, I don't know that I don't know that. That guy is an idiot. Again, I hate to use the term, but Joe Biden right now is suffering from advanced dementia and Alzheimer's. He's being used. He was put in place just so they would he would be able to do what they want to do and without any pushback. You know, he's busy wandering around, wondering who crapped his pants. And we got to find that guy. I'm getting very tired of it. It's like, well, stop doing it. It wasn't me. But all of these governmental institutions have done nothing, nothing, but been taken over and been used to try to decimate this country. Remember that interview? If you can look this up online, if you want to, it's G. Edgar Griffin, who did an interview with Yuri Bezmenov. I've mentioned this multiple times, but it's worth repeating, I think. When he talked to him, he said, and talked to him about how you take down a country, and one of the first steps is demoralizing the country. This interview was done, by the way, back in 1982. I said, well, the first step is to demoralize the country. And G. Edward Griffin asked him, well, okay, well, how far along are we in that? And he goes, oh, no, that's already been done. That's already finished. They've already moved on to the next step, you know, the destabilization. You know, and I've got like dozens of these documents coming from these globalist organizations. And believe me, they're not fun to read. They're kind of tedious and whatever, but they give you a great insight of what's going on. And they always try to make it sound like it's for your benefit, and none of it ever is. When the hell did COVID lockdowns, by the way, a virus that had a 99.97% survival rate, unless you happen to live in one of the big major cities or under the governorship of some communist who decided to shove sick people in with elderly people who had pre-existing conditions and their immune systems were compromised and they died and they were like, oh, well, that wasn't our fault. So they're trying to take over we've seen this already. They're trying to take over the food system here. And part of it is that they don't want you to be able to grow your own food. If you have any property, if you have any amount of land whatsoever, screw your lawn. Who cares? Oh, my God, my lawn is so pristine. It's really wonderful. Screw your lawn. Grass doesn't feed you. Hey, start growing your own vegetables, and if you can plant a fruit tree of some kind, start growing that. I'm gonna pop this. Hold on, once I can get. I'm gonna pop this document into the chat room here, so people can read it for themselves. But they tell you exactly what they're doing. They're telling you, we're going to shut you down. We're going to starve you to death. I mean, if you watch the inner cities, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Austin, Houston, Dallas, you know, wherever. If you watch some of the stuff that's going on there, you know, people are already getting out of control, violent as it is. Of course, you know, it's all the guns' fault, but, you know, we'll get into that in a bit. But can you imagine what's going to happen if they start starving these inner city people out? They're going to start migrating out to the country. And that's going to be a fight. They're fomenting a civil war in this country. And it's not going to be over political ideology for the most part. And, you know, this, again, my opinion, it's going to be over people starving to death. You know, politics aside, you know, when you're starving, you haven't eaten for 3 or 4 days, you're going to be looking You know, Fido's looking pretty good right now. But that's what they want. They don't, they, most of the time, they don't want you paying attention to what they're doing. Because then you're all of a sudden you're going to figure out what the big plan is. If you start reading these documents, again, I said, I got a lot of them, and it's like you read these things, and it's this is their playbook. And I don't know how true this is, but you know they say that if, especially if you're into the satanic cult or anything like that, you have to tell people what you're doing ahead of time. Well, they're telling us what they're doing ahead of time. It's just a matter of if we get it in time. So watch out for the food. I've already told us what their process for the food is. Again, this was published 2 years ago. And they're already saying that, well, you know, we have to have a government-controlled food system. Otherwise, it's not going to work. When the hell does that government ever done anything that's ever worked right? How about Obamacare? Do you remember the Obamacare website? How many millions of dollars did that cost taxpayers? And it was such an absolute failure that California decided they needed to hire the same company that built it to build their to build their Obamacare website for the state of California. And of course that one didn't work either. Find me a government website that works right. I dare you. I've been on a bunch of them, even from just the local ones. They all work at most absolutely miserably, and yet they probably charged your tax dollars to a premium on it. And they're like, well, it works really, really good. You know, it's times like that that I really miss Steve Jobs. Because Steve Jobs really did have one point when it came to making the operating system of Apple computers, which was just like, make it simple. And of course, you know, they screwed it up and this guy Woods came in and tried to make it more like Microsoft, which is a nightmare to use. And I think they hired every reject from Microsoft to build every government website. And so how can we make this a complete mess? But hold on. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. My computer is giving me a little bit of grief again. But before I go into, see, I got like a half an hour left. I got to go into this again, which is always going to be my go-to point, which is, of course, Second Amendment, gun rights, and all of that. So we saw what happened with the Supreme Court decisions regarding New York. They've come up with another one. They reversed a lower court ruling on the magazine ban, assault weapons, and the carry and all of that. Of course, the government's all freaked out. But of course, what they did was they started going, we have to do end runs around the Second Amendment because the Supreme Court just shut us down. Which is what they always end up doing. And one of the biggest ones recently, I mean, Gavin Newsom aside, he's a complete nightmare. If you don't know who he is, the governor of California. Governor Hochul from New York, who took over for that corrupt POS Cuomo when he got caught doing a bunch of stuff, she immediately jumped on this saying, we're going to do gun control because, you know, gun control always works. Just look at Chicago over the 4th of July weekend. Look at Philadelphia over the 4th of July weekend. They're never addressing the actual root cause of the problem. No, they're always addressing, we have to take away the guns. Okay, why? Well, because people would stop killing each other. It's like, well, if I pulled out a machete and started hacking people up, would that be better? Do we need machete control laws? Oh, and don't think that's funny, because England and Australia actually tried to do that with knife control laws because people started getting stabbed after they took their guns away. That's not kidding. You can look, I'm not kidding. You can look that up. But this is Governor Hochul. I think I got her name right. Hochul or Hochul. I'm not sure. But whatever her name is, she looks absolutely insane. If you've ever seen a picture of her, she looks nuts.
Do you have the numbers to show that it's the concealed carry permit holders that are committing crimes? Because the lawful gun owner will say that you're attacking the wrong person. It's really people that are getting these guns illegally that are causing the violence, not the people going and getting the permit legally. And that's the basis for the whole Supreme Court argument. Do you have the numbers?
I don't need to have numbers. I don't have to have a data point to point to say that this is going to matter. All I know is I have a responsibility to the people of this state to have sensible gun safety laws. And this one was not devised by the Hochul administration. It comes out of an administration from 1908. And I don't need a data point to make the case that I have a responsibility to protect the people of this state.
Somebody who's going to go do a mass shooting or something like that may not go get a concealed carry permit.
I never said there's any correlation between our solution here and the Buffalo case. In fact, I signed a package of 10 laws following Buffalo that dealt with the issues that were raised there.
Hochul's gun laws passed after the Topps grocery.
So what she basically said was, I don't need facts to enforce an unconstitutional gun control law. Don't ask me about that. Well, you know, if the numbers don't coincide with what I want, then I don't need them. I'm going to enact these laws anyway. You know, basically, it's a big F you to the people in New York. You know, Canada, you guys got to worry about yourself. You got a prime minister, black-faced, cross-dressing, whatever, up there. We down here in the States, we got a guy who's suffering from advanced dementia and can't remember where he is all the time, who, Joe, sign this. It's a gun control law. Okay. And this was just 5 days ago. This is why she's all upset, is because the Supreme Court just reversed a lower court ruling on magazine bans, assault weapon bans, and a carry ban under the Fourth Circuit Court. And you can find out where the Fourth is, but the Supreme Court basically told the lower court, you got it wrong. We're striking down your opinions. Go do it again and do it based on the actual text of the Second Amendment and the history / tradition of the right to keep and bear arms. And so those courts have to review those state laws in light of the I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Brune or Braun, and issue new rulings using the new text, history, and tradition framework. So they're going to try, of course, the state governments, especially the communist ones, the ones who hate America, are going to try to work their way around it. And Hochul, since she said it, I guess I got her name right, Hochul is going to try to get around that. So is Gavin Newsom. So is Beetlejuice out of Chicago. So is Evers out of Wisconsin. They're all going to try to make their work around. Now, here's the thing with Wisconsin is we already have open carry law here. Okay, I can put a gun on and as long as I want, I can walk around with it lawfully, and if I want to get a concealed carry. I can do that too, and I can conceal carry. I have a license for it. My problem with having a concealed carry license is the fact that I need a concealed carry license. So we actually got a Supreme Court that's actually making decisions that are actually pretty good. They're actually decent. Here's the tradition of the Second Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is no such thing as a constitutional gun control law. Sheriff Richard Mack told me, you are about 99% right. No, I don't think I'm 99% right. I think I'm 100% right. You show me where in the Constitution it says that I'm 99% right, not be infringed. Well, you know, what if somebody goes out and commits murder? Well, then they committed murder. And you know what? You treat them appropriately. We used to just get rid of those kind of people. You lock them up for the rest of their lives. You hang them. You do whatever. But these far leftist communists have introduced all kinds of new kind of legislation or ideas in changing the cultural landscape in this country that all of a sudden it's like, well, we have to look at the circumstances that they grew up in. No, we don't. When the hell did we ever have to do that? No, they went out and they committed a crime using a firearm, not using it in a lawful manner. Guess what? Sorry, see ya. Maybe in the next life or maybe not. I don't know. But capital punishment is not a deterrent. You want to bet? Apparently it is, because when we had it and used it, you didn't have this much. Oh, but you know, if you relax the gun laws, it's going to be like the Wild Wild West. Hey, guess what? Here's another statement of fact for you. The Wild Wild West was not the Wild Wild West. That was Hollywood. People were kind of respectful back in those days, because if you weren't, you pretty much got shot. People around here where I live are pretty much polite to each other, not because they're afraid of getting shot, simply because they're polite to each other. But if you run into somebody who's not going to be polite, and when I say not polite, I mean if they're going to commit some kind of crime against you or your property, chances are they're going to get shot. You go into the inner cities like where Beetlejuice is reigning over, 4th of July weekend, people, you know, what do they have? Like over 50 people got nailed. And then you don't forget about the shooting in the Highland Park area where some guy opened fire on a bunch of them. Don't forget about Philadelphia, by the way, which has also very restrictive gun laws. Somebody opened fire on them too. Nobody was able to defend themselves. And yet we got these pawns who are being, you know, very directed in what they're trying to tell people to do are sitting there out there touting, oh no, we have to make sure that you don't have any means to defend yourselves, otherwise how will we be safe? Is that not like one of the dumbest arguments you've ever heard in your life? You know, once again, I did not serve this country to watch my rights get trampled by a bunch of these communist ass bags. Every time you turn around, this is what they're trying to do. And if you want to see what kind of ass bags they are, you got to go to this video. It's beyond stupid. This woman who's running for state senate in Rhode Island, her idea of a campaign video is to stand on her head in lingerie and twerk in front of the camera and says, vote for me for senate. Number one, you're overweight, and I don't really care to see that anyway, but this is what we've come to in this country. That's a campaign video? Say, dear God, what happened to this country? Joe Biden cannot say God bless America without his wife reminding him to. And by the way, he still didn't say it. That's what we've come to. And you got the mayor of Philadelphia, by the way, who's a disaster of a mayor, saying, I really don't want to be mayor anymore. I can't wait to leave. It's like, I'm telling you, people in Philadelphia, if there's anybody listening to this show, please make his wish come true. Make him not mayor anymore. This is what he had to say. Excuse me, I have to fix my state-of-the-art equipment here.
But this is a gun country. It's crazy. We're the most armed country in world history, and we're one of the least safest. So, you know, until Americans decide that they want to give up the guns and give up the opportunity to get guns, we're going to have this problem.
Yeah, spoken by somebody who has never read a history book or understands what the purpose of the Second Amendment was at all. Here's a brief history of governments taking guns away from their people. Armenia, 1.5 million. Nazi Germany, 13 million. The USSR, somewhere between 10 and 40 million. Nobody has the exact count. China, over 100 million. Cambodia, one-third of their population. Uganda, 300,000. And the list goes on. The Second Amendment was not written because some ass bag who is mentally unstable. By the way, you notice they never mention the fact that these people are mentally unstable. They always want to mention that the guns are the problem. No, the guns are not the problem. We've seen what these people want to do already. If you can imagine what would happen if they took away, if they repealed the Second Amendment, they got rid of that, and we were all suddenly disarmed with the government that we have been seeing lately. Can you, under the control of the banking cartels, somebody like Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, George Soros, can you imagine what these nihilistic assbags would do to the population of this country? And they've already got the targets. They already know who they want to go after. Me, you, anybody, you know, not just Revolution Radio, but anybody who spoke up against them. Alex Jones would probably be one of the prime targets already. Oh, you're done. And once they got that done, then they would start doing like what they did to what China is doing to the Uyghur Muslims now, what they did to the Jews in Germany in World War II. You know, get in the trailers and head off to the camps. You got stuff to build for us. Yeah, don't mind the smokestacks, by the way. And yet these people insist, and never minding their own hypocrisy, they insist that the only way to solve the violence problem is to take away your guns. This has been going on, by the way, for a lot of years. I remember reading this stuff in the 80s and the 90s. When they started hitting all these kids in the school systems, which, by the way, Ronald Reagan should have been able to dissolve the Department of Education in his term. But he, for some reason, backed down and Congress wouldn't let him do it. He should have still done it anyway. He should have said, to hell with you. This is a executive branch of creation, the executive branch gets to get rid of it. But they have been forcibly drugging these kids in the 80s and 90s. They've been putting them on all kinds of psychotropic drugs, SSRTs. Oh my God, I feel a little anxiety today as a 7-year, 8-year-old kid. Oh, good, take some of these. That won't screw their brains up at all. And then they wonder why when they turn into the teenagers, they're completely out of control. They have no idea what the hell is happening. Their brains are all screwed up, not to mention the fluoride, not to mention the crap that's spraying in the air, the GMO foods and everything else. But that's not the problem. The problem is, you have a heterosexual nuclear kind of family, and if you're all racist and you're heterophobic, transphobic, insert name here, phobic. All of that. And these kids get catered to. It's like, I feel like this today. Well, okay, that's what you are. It's like, no, you're not. They're not there to teach kids. We've seen the videos of these so-called teachers bragging about how they're indoctrinating these kids. And then they wonder why one of them flips out, one or two of them who are on drugs or who are have a history of mental instability, but yet nobody paid attention to it and go off and go out into Highland Park in Chicago and start shooting the place up. By the way, Highland Park in Chicago on July 4th was probably not the worst amount of shooting that went on in Chicago that day, but Beetlejuice won't acknowledge something like that. Chicago is the most, as far as I know, at this point, I've got to look up the crime statistics otherwise, is probably the most violent city in the country at this point, murder capital of the city. Washington, D.C. had that distinct honor a little while ago. Los Angeles is fast becoming, they're like, hey, we can't be behind. We got to be number ones. So they're stepping up their game as well. And that's not including the Antifa riots and the Black Lives Matter crap that goes on. But you, law-abiding American citizens, should not have the right to be able to possess or keep and bear arms, I'm guaranteed under the Constitution, to defend yourself against these people who are coming in there, and all they're seeking to do is destroy your neighborhood in favor of pushing a communist agenda. And yes, it is a communist agenda. Prove me wrong. I dare you. Because I have seen them. I have read their agendas, and I have read a lot of publications that say this is where they came. The Black Lives Matter, the three lesbian girls who founded Black Lives Matter said, yes, we are trained Marxists. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know? And this idiot, going back to Philadelphia, this idiot mayor, if you can find this, Charlie Kirk posted it up, where he was doing a dance saying, we are now a sanctuary city. And it's like, guess what? It's not a good thing, because all it does is bring in the wrong element. People will gravitate there because they know that they're never going to get in trouble. I've seen it happen in Los Angeles. I've seen what they do. Oh, you're an illegal alien? As an illegal alien in Los Angeles, you have almost more rights. I'm not even going to say almost. I'm going to say you have more rights than an American citizen there. Ask that assbag mayor Villanueva when he put in Special Order 40. That almost sounds like Star Wars, doesn't it? Special Order 66, and they start killing all the Jedi. But he put in Special Order 40 where the police could not take away a vehicle from an illegal alien with no license, no insurance, no driver's license, had to leave the vehicle, could not take it away from them. If you were an American citizen and you got caught doing the same thing, off to impound it goes. So these morons are out there. They are perpetuating this kind of violence, and yet they disparage the Second Amendment as the root cause of it. And it's like, it's not, absolutely not. You and your communist ways, which, by the way, they all know what they're doing. Again, never think that they're stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. But you and your stupid left-wing communist policies are creating this, and it's all done by design. It's all done on purpose. And then they all act all shocked, like, oh, we don't understand why the crime rate is so high here. Or they had the neighboring city of Los Angeles, you know, Beverly Hills, which, it, by the way, is its own city, had to pass a resolution within their own city council to tell Los Angeles to recall that Soros-funded district attorney Gascon because he was allowing the criminals free so that they would go into Beverly Hills and start robbing people there. This is a very planned out event. The food, the crime, taking your guns, ignoring the Constitution. I hope I'm trying to connect everything I was talking about tonight. Okay, it's all very planned out. There's a lot of money behind it. There's a lot of propaganda behind it. And all we as American, real Americans, people who love this country, have got to do is sit back for a minute and tell them, flip them the bird, tell them to F off. We're not complying with anything you tell us anymore. And if you want to send in your troops to try to burn our city, do what they did in my county. Point the guns at them and run them out of town. That's our option, because nobody who is in the establishment aspect, and I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats both, and believe me, we got the primaries coming up here in a month, and you cannot get some of these people to even admit that there was a problem with the elections back in 2020. Oh, but I can be your governor. No, you can't. I'm sorry. I'm not voting for you. If I even bother to get out of my house that day and waste my time going to cast a vote. So we got about 4 minutes left here on the show. I'm going to run this out with the last 4 minutes, a couple of more minutes of what Ronald Reagan was saying in his A Time for Choosing speech. Because if I go on any more, I'm going to start cursing. I'm going to start using all kinds of language that will probably get me bumped from the show. And I kind of don't want to do that. I enjoy talking to you guys every Tuesday night.
But he said there should be no cause for worry, because as long as they had the power to tax, they could always take away from the people whatever they needed to bail them out of trouble. And they're doing just that. A young man, 21 years of age, working at an average salary, his Social Security contribution would in the open market buy him an insurance policy that would guarantee $220 a month at age 65. The government promises $127. He could live it up until he's 31 and then take out a policy that would pay more than Social Security. Now, are we so lacking in business sense that we can't put this program on a sound basis so that people who do require those payments will find they can get them when they're due, that the cupboard isn't bare? Barry Goldwater thinks we can. At the same time, can't we introduce voluntary features that would permit a citizen who can do better on his own to be excused upon presentation of evidence that he had made provision for the non-earning years? Should we not allow a widow with children to work and not lose the benefits supposedly paid for by her deceased husband? Shouldn't you and I be allowed to declare who our beneficiaries will be under this program, which we cannot do? I think we're for telling our senior citizens that no one in this country should be denied medical care because of a lack of funds. But I think we're against forcing all citizens, regardless of need, into a compulsory government program.
Obamacare.
Especially when we have such examples as was announced last week when France admitted that their Medicare program is now bankrupt. They've come to the end of the road. In addition, was Barry Goldwater so irresponsible when he suggested that our government give up its program of deliberate planned inflation so that when you do get your Social Security pension, a dollar will buy a dollar's worth and not 45 cents worth? I think we're for an international organization where the nations of the world can seek peace. But I think we're against subordinating American interests to an organization that has become so structurally unsound that today you can muster a two-thirds vote on the floor of the General Assembly among nations that represent less than 10% of the world's population. I think we're against the hypocrisy of assailing our allies because here and there they cling to a colony, while we engage in a conspiracy of silence and never open our mouths about the millions of people enslaved in the Soviet colonies in the satellite nations.
Okay, I only got about a minute left, everybody, but Reagan was absolutely right in this speech. And I've heard other speeches, too, from other people, other interviews and whatever, and they were absolutely right what they were talking about. And once again, we have got to stop kowtowing to the establishment, to the government. The government has overstepped its boundaries by a lot. And this speech, A Time for Choosing by Ronald Reagan, was brilliant in itself. And go look at all the other ones. And by the way, stand up. Happy 4th of July, everybody. I hope you had a good one over the weekend. And I will see you on Friday in the Granada Forum. Remember, if you can't be good, be bad. Bye, everybody.
Is the truth jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in.